And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. I'm coming to you today from Jackson, Mississippi. I've had a wonderful time here. I'm flying back this afternoon, but we've wrapped up our events here. But I wanted to stay here long enough to make sure that I came to you here on the radio rather than being on an airplane from which I cannot do my radio program. I want to thank the great folks of Jackson, Mississippi for the hospitality and the reception that I've received here. I started out yesterday morning at a breakfast, went from there to a luncheon, and met with your Unite Mississippi folks and had a great crowd. They're doing great work in Jackson and great work, frankly, for Mississippi and for the country, because they're bringing people together across racial and cultural lines, loving each other as Christians, working together for the good of Mississippi and ultimately, again, for the good of the country. And I just commend them. Was honored to be a part of that and to be able to play some small role in encouraging them. Then went from there and had an opportunity to speak at a revival in Tuchula. I guess it's Tuchula. The Delta Harvest Festival in Tuchula City Park. And we had a wonderful time last night there. A bunch of great people showed up. People were in their cars and some people in the audience. Great music. I had a chance to speak to people and share the word and pray for folks. Again, a great time. And then this morning, I had an opportunity to be at a wonderful church, Restoration Church in Florence, Mississippi. And it was just a great time to be there with Pastor Larry. And I did an interview with renowned radio host Larry Nix. Great man of God and tremendous interviewer. I told him, one of the best interviews I've ever had. Just did a very, very good job. You know, you interview with some people and they want to do all the talking, which I try not to do with my hosts, with my guests, I should say. But on the other hand, you do want to have an interaction. So you don't want a guest to just come on, just talk nonstop. So sometimes you have to interrupt people, but he was just great. Just gave me a chance to share and he talked. The audience knew he was there, but asked very insightful questions. So look, I've met a great group of people down here and I'm honored to have been asked to come down and be a part of this. They're a great group of folks and I really believe they're going to do great things for God. They're already doing great things for God and there are greater things yet to come down here. This is all chaired by Chip Miskelly, who has really become a friend, and they've been talking to me for months about coming down and apparently praying and working on this for longer than that. So I just felt a move of the Spirit here. And I'll tell you, for you Mississippi listeners, you've got some great folks here and great things in store for the state of Mississippi. I believe that with all my heart. All right, folks. Well, this is Constitution Day, September 17th, 234 years ago. The Continental Congress ratified the Constitution of the United States. That is, they passed the Constitution of the United States, sent it to the states for ratification. It was ratified 2 years later in 1789, but I count 1787 from really the time that the Constitution became our governing document. Because then a number of states, of course, had to ratify it. Many of them ratified it fairly quickly. But before the time had passed, I think New York was the last state to ratify. But at any rate, it is the most successful governing document in the history of mankind. 234 years. Constitutions change approximately every 17 years. And so we have a great deal to be grateful for, thankful to God for. And we ought to celebrate that, to celebrate American History Month, and that's what we're doing. And by the way, for all you Mississippi folks who were kind enough to show up at these various events. Thank you. It was so great to meet you for all the prayers that people uttered. It was just truly wonderful and a real blessing and gratifying to me. You know, people often say to me that I encourage them and inspire them, but I'll tell you something. I'm encouraged and inspired by people being engaged and active and just willing to put themselves out there to do something, and sometimes not knowing what to do, but they want to be engaged. They want to be part of the effort to help save this country. So you all bless me. You really do. So Constitution Day, right? And oh, by the way, this is also First Amendment Friday, which means I'm going to be taking your calls as the primary part of this program. No guests today. It's just us, folks. So give me a call. I'm going to get you on. I'm going to start taking calls in the next segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And, you know, let me share with you, first of all, something from the Constitution of the United States, which I talk quite a bit about today at Restoration Church, because it is Constitution Day after all, September 17th. And let me just share with you all the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, because we need to remember these things. It says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Now, I always like to point out that it says to secure the blessings of liberty. It doesn't say to give them. It says to secure them, because our founding fathers believed that the blessings of liberty come from God, not man, and that the Constitution's job is to secure what God has given us. And that is unique in human history. There's never been a government founded on that principle. Ours is. That's exceptional. And it is something worth celebrating. I don't care what the left says. America was not birthed in racism and slavery. America was birthed in liberty. It says not all Americans, and by the way, not just black Americans, but not all Americans, not all of those on the continent got to experience all that liberty offered them initially. Many were here as indentured servants. There was much more when we were connected to England. There was much more class distinction between those elites and those upper class wealthy people and the rest of Americans. So we are continuing to form a more perfect union, and it's getting better all the time if the left would just get out of the way and let us continue to do that. And instead, they want to throw out the union as our founding fathers intended and bring in some sort of socialist utopia. And that's not going to happen, folks. It simply is not going to happen. And it is certainly not going to happen on our watch. The second thing is, notice that they say ordain. You know, ordain, even in the 1700s, was a theological word. It was an ecclesiastical word. It means that they saw the Constitution of the United States as a sacred document. I say a sacred covenant between the American people and God, between ourselves as citizens of this great land. And so this Constitution has lasted us for 234 years, and there are those who want to upend it. There are those who want to destroy it. There are those who want to ignore it. There are those who want to trample it. But we're simply not having any of that. This Constitution will endure in the name of Jesus. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
There are many modern conveniences we take for granted. Near the top of the list is light. To be more precise, we take for granted artificial light, except when our lights go out. But light as a product illustrates the benefits of modern technology. A story in Human Progress explains how light has turned from something too precious to use that something everyone can afford. It used to take 10 hours a day for 6 days to produce 1,000 lumen hours of light. To put that in perspective, this is equivalent to one modern light bulb for just 54 minutes. When candles came along, this provided light for wealthier people, but that was prohibitively expensive for the common person. By the 18th century, candles made from the waxy substances in the head cavities of sperm whales were less time-consuming, but they were still expensive, not to mention terminal for the whales. George Washington even calculated the annual cost to him for the opportunity to have 5 hours of reading per night. The light bulb changed everything. By 1900, 60 hours of work could provide 10 days of light. 20 years later, 60 hours of work could pay for 5 months of light. Today, that same amount of work can produce 52 years of light. The amount of labor that once took 54 minutes of light now can buy 52 years of light. The cost has fallen by a factor of 500,000, and the quality of that light has been transformed from unstable and risky to clean, safe, and controllable. Sadly, many in other parts of the world don't have access to that light, which is even more reason for us not to take it for granted. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Listeners throughout India, Nepal, and Bhutan are hearing the gospel, some for the first time, and many of them are so moved by the good news that they feel compelled to share it. The Tide Ministry is so excited to receive reports about listeners who hear the message of Christ and then eagerly pass the good news on to their neighbors, friends, and family. We are so thankful that the Lord has given us the opportunity to witness these salvation stories and hear how those who have recently come to know Christ are helping us in our mission to share the gospel with as many people around the globe as we possibly can. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in India, Nepal, and Bhutan whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, you all know how First Amendment Friday works. Any topic you want to bring up is fine. Of course, my callers are the best callers in the world, and I always get intelligent comments. And those who want to make strange, off-based, crazy stuff, you know, don't usually call my program. So, but any topic that you want to bring up is fine with me, particularly for today, First Amendment Friday. I'll introduce a few as we're waiting for the lines to fill up. Look, Twitter, it has been learned, has actually been used, and Facebook too, apparently, has actually been used by cartels to recruit hitmen and to give orders of assassination. Yeah. The social media being used by cartels and hitmen to order hits and to recruit for hits to be done. Now look, little old me, I've been banned from Twitter now for a year and a half, I think it is. Might be going on two. I think it's 2 years. Because I made a comment about the Sri Lankan attacks by Muslims on Christian churches, and some dude by the name of Andy Fox, I don't know who he is, but he implied that Christians deserved it because they were evangelizing in some kind of slick way that he thought wasn't entirely honest, blah, 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 blah. And I made the comment, you're comparing an evangelistic method that you don't like to murdering people. and said, "It's Christians aren't murdering people. Muslims are doing that." And Twitter took me off. Now, I really believe that what was behind that, in spite of all this algorithmic nonsense, I think that they do identify certain people. And even though I didn't have the biggest following, I think they knew who I was and didn't like me in the first place, particularly not the things that I said about homosexuality, transgenderism. And I think that that particular tweet about Islam was simply used as an opportunity to get me off. Now, what they did was suspended me and then rendered the suspension permanent without ever communicating with me again. So, by the way, let me just double down on this. Did you all hear about the family arrested in Arizona? The Muslim family arrested, the Iraqi family arrested in Arizona. I don't know whether they're citizens or not. Arrested because they were trying to kidnap a daughter. Are you all hearing about the honor killings that are taking place in our country when girls go off the reservation, as this girl did, and wants to marry? In fact, she's pregnant by a man who is not a Muslim. They tried to kill the baby by punching her in the stomach repeatedly, hoping to destroy the baby. And they say they were trying to kidnap her to send her back to Iraq. Let me say again, there is something fundamentally wrong in Islam. Muslims have to deal with that. They have to address that because it is producing this kind of behavior. These people are not terrorists per se, but they believe that their religion gives them the right to kill an unborn baby because the mother is involved with a man who is not a Muslim. See, that's Sharia law. And I've said many times, Sharia law is incompatible with the Constitution of the United States. I've also said that, therefore, people who come to this country and become citizens, in my view, should be on a probationary period. And when you start behaving in a way that lets us know that you are not committed to the American way of life and the Constitution of the United States, and that can happen in a variety of ways, which we could talk through. I mean, whether you start to live a life of crime, or whether you're doing stuff like this, or you engage in some kind of terrorist act, or like Ilhan Omar, you're supporting the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11. Some people did something, she said. As far as I'm concerned, we need to boot you out of here and say, you know what? Your citizenship is revoked. You have misbehaved during the probationary period. Bye. See ya. There's something fundamentally is wrong in Islam. And all these Afghans we're taking in, God bless the ones who helped us. I'm completely supportive of helping them. But all these Afghans we're taking in, these people are not all our supporters. They're not all people who want to come to this country to be Americans. And we're going to have some problems down the line, I guarantee you. I guarantee you we're going to have some problems down the line because some of these people are mere infiltrators who are coming into this country because they hate it and want to hurt it from within. So for Twitter or Facebook who thinks I'm being Islamophobic, you know, do what you want to do with that. But it's the truth. So, but if you're, I guess if you're a cartel member and you're a hitman, you're, what do they call them? You're a sicario. Oh, you'd be, we're happy to have you tweet. We're happy to have you post. No problem. Which once again, folks, is why we say these people don't care about human beings. And these leftists, they don't care about human beings. They care about their power and control, because the things they do don't, if they really had compassion and were really concerned about the well-being of human beings, and they thought, yeah, we don't want E.W. Jackson on because, you know, he says things that might make people hate Muslims, then they would say, and so we're not going to let the Taliban have an account. We're not going to let Iraq have an account. We're not going to have cartels and gangsters have an account. But oh, no, they banned me. They put them on because they don't care about you or me or anybody else. They care about power. And I think, frankly, anything that destabilizes America, anything that's anti-American, anything that serves to undermine our country, I think they look away. They turn a blind eye to that. But any of us that are upholding American values, upholding American patriotism, I talked about patriotism this morning at Restoration Church. That means it comes from the Greek word patris, or I think patrois, which means love of the father or love of the fatherland. And I say, we appreciate our founding fathers and what they bequeathed to us, and we honor that. But any of us who does that, you're dangerous. You might be a white supremacist if you believe that. I mean, so sadly, these people are really enemies of our country. And they need to have, when I say these people, these leftists who are promoting all this stuff, what they need to do, what needs to be done is these big tech companies, they need to be broken up. They have too much power. They have too much power for people who have the kind of disdain and hatred that they have for this country. I think they love communist China because they can make more money and because they enjoy the totalitarian power that communist China holds. Because that, you know, if they're in China and they're adhering to Chinese policy, they can have any pretty much everything they want because the government can order it. Whereas in America, they've got to answer to the people, and that's so inconvenient. You know what? Let's start taking your calls. Like I said, anything you want to bring up is fine. There are other things to bring up, but I'll bring those up as we get further into the program. Let's go to Stan in Tennessee. Stan, welcome. Stan in Tennessee. Okay. How about this? Let's try Mike in Texas. Okay. I think, are we having some technical problems here? Mike, are you there?
Hello?
There you go. Is this Mike?
No, this is Stan in Tennessee.
Okay, Stan. All right. Stan, you are on. Welcome.
Yes, good morning or good afternoon or whatever the case may be.
Right.
I just got a quick comment. I'm going to get off of here. I agree with everything you say. I listen to you every day, and I try not to miss a program.
Thank you, sir.
And bless you for the work you're doing. A couple of quick comments. I thought that the Supreme Court ordered the Biden administration to reinstate the return to Mexico and the Trump policies that they did. The Supreme Court ruled on that, but he's still letting them flood across the border. And it looks like to me they care more about people like that than they want to mandate the vaccine for everybody. But they're not making them get the vaccine. But I just thought that the Supreme Court had ordered him to reinstate the return in Mexico.
Well, good point, Stan. And thank you for the compliment and the encouragement. I appreciate you listening. And thank you for the call. The Supreme Court said that they could not dismantle the Remain in Mexico policy willy-nilly, because the Trump administration had followed regulatory procedure to implement that policy, and the Biden administration could not come in and capriciously undo it. Now, I'm going to check into exactly what is going on there, but I think you raise a good point. But let's keep this in mind. These people don't care about the law either, and they don't care about the Constitution. Here again, they care about power. So I'm going to check into it, Stan, to see what they're doing with that. But I guarantee you, they're not planning to adhere to what the Supreme Court said at all. They're going to do what they want to do. Because they figure by the time anybody figures it out, by the time anybody can stop them, it's already done. And look, they don't care about these people coming across the border either, except insofar as they can do for the country what apparently they've done for California, which is to turn California into a one-party state by flooding it with people who become dependent upon the government and end up voting for Democrats because they're going to give them stuff. And I think that's how these Democrat elites see themselves, creating a one-party state in the United States of America. So it's always about them, and it's always about their power. It's never about people. Because look, I care about these illegal immigrants. We love them. Come the right way. We admit 1 million people into this country every single year. But that's the only way you can get in. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here
here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
We used to be a nation of dreamers. Some of that's missing now, but we have it as part of our heritage. Our forefathers, those who founded our country, were dreamers. They dreamed of a country where man would be free, where he could live in dignity and hope and promise of a better tomorrow. They lived that dream, believed in it so much they were willing to give their lives for it. Nothing could stop them from reaching out for that dream, not even all the combined power of the King of England. They took that dream, and with it they beat the unbeatable foe. They conquered the unconquerable land. They traveled the untravelable roads. What great dreamers they were. But they were not the greatest dreamers this world has had. There was a small group of men who had even greater dreams than did the founders of our country. Back nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a group of 11 men who had a dream, a great dream. They dreamed that they could conquer the world without ever lifting a sword or firing a gun. They dreamed that one day every man, woman, and child could and would share with them the new faith they had found. They dreamed that one day this world would be ruled by love. It was a great dream they had, so great, in fact, that the world laughed at them, ridiculed them, even persecuted and killed them. But the dream could not be destroyed. It lived on. They planted that dream of a world ruled by love in the hearts and minds of other individuals. The dream lived and grew. Soon that dream had conquered persons of all climates, all classes, all races. There are those today who are still dreaming that dream. They are inspired by a carpenter who touched the hearts of common people as no other man. He planted that dream in their hearts, nourished it, watched it grow. It is the dream of a world where men are brothers, where we help instead of hurt, share instead of steal, give instead of grab. It is a dream of a world ruled by brotherly love. A foolish dream? An unrealistic dream? An illogical dream? Yes, it's been called all of those things, but that doesn't stop people from dreaming it and from trying to make that dream come true. It is, in a way, an unfulfilled dream, but many still search after it. The call goes out from this Galilean carpenter today for more dreamers. Few there are who dare to give themselves to that dream. It seems unreachable to most people. It is certainly a big dream and requires the best there is in a person. For this reason, very few dare dream that dream, for it's a challenge, the world's greatest challenge. It isn't a dream for sissies or weaklings or the lazy. No, it's a dream for great people. If you're a dreamer looking for a dream to give yourself to, there's none greater in all the world. And one day, with his help, the dream will come true.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. I would hardly be the person to ever quote or point to rap star Nicki Minaj, who I don't really know anyway because I don't follow rap music. But it's interesting to me that having visited communist China, she comes back to America and says to people, and of course the left is just going crazy because normally she would be one of them, says to them, cancel culture reminds her of the suppression of free speech in communist China. Nicki Minaj, rap star. She said, you should be able to ask questions about anything you're putting inside your body. Duh. But you can't innocently ask questions about something going on in your body? See, I remember going to China and they were telling us you cannot speak out against the people in power, etc. And I remember all of us thinking, oh, okay, we understand and we respect the laws here. And that's so different from where we live. And then she says, but don't y'all see what's happening? Of course, she throws a little expletive in there, which I won't repeat. She says, don't y'all see that we are living now in that time where people turn their back on you for not agreeing? People will isolate you if you simply speak and ask a question. Now, folks, when a pop, hip-hop rap star starts raising questions that we Christians have probably been raising for who knows how long, it tells you they're waking people up who one wouldn't even expect to awaken. So the more information comes out, I don't know how the CDC, the World Health Organization, the Biden administration are going to resist the onslaught of information coming out. A new study just came out. Another Harvard epidemiologist, I had Dr. Risch on my program, another Harvard epidemiologist is saying it is conclusive that vaccine passports are counterproductive. He says because prior COVID disease provides better immunity than vaccines. So vaccine mandates are not only scientific nonsense, they're also discriminatory and unethical. That's Kulldorff, a biostatistician and epidemiologist, Harvard Medical School, Martin Kulldorff. I had one on me. Here's another one. I mean, these are the institutions they live by. They swear by. Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. But now when the science doesn't seem to be going along with what they want to do, what's the answer then? Don't follow the science, follow us, which is what they meant all along. The number again, 888-589-8840. Look, folks, it is quite clear to me. Oh, and by the way, and I'm coming right to your calls, but by the way, one of my callers asked the question about this particular vaccine. You say, well, it's really not a vaccine. So I did some research on this over the last couple of days and realized you all are absolutely right. This is a non-traditional vaccine. A vaccine usually involves taking a dead portion of the particular virus or germ or bacteria, injecting that into a person's body so that they can't get sick from it, but their body is convinced that the disease has entered and therefore produces the antibodies and the defenses that are needed. This vaccine has no COVID in it. But what it does have is this mechanism to convince as the scientists put it, to talk to your cells. It's ribonucleic acid, mRNA, to talk to your message RNA, a messaging ribonucleic acid, to talk to your cells, to talk to the DNA in your cells, and have your cells produce the proteins that then get the body to move and to act as if you've got the disease and provide the protection. Well, no wonder it doesn't last as long as we would expect the vaccine. Some vaccines last a lifetime. So you all are absolutely right. This thing is highly unusual. They say, well, that's why it was able to be developed so quickly. Yeah, but here again, you've got something that's doing things in the cells of your body that are completely out of sync with any approach we've ever taken to dealing with a vaccine. Now, that's a fact. And I know they're saying, oh, but it's effective. Well, maybe it is. For some people, maybe it is. But I tell you what, it's not the same thing as the vaccines that have been produced in the past. Okay, let's get back to your calls here. Let's go to Mike in Virginia. Mike, welcome. Mike in Virginia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Mike. Hello. Great to have you on.
I am a federal employee, and yesterday they announced to me that I would be terminated if I didn't take the vaccine by November 22nd. And I, up to this point, I've chosen not to get it because of religious reasons as well as some medical issues I've had. But I'm not sure how to proceed.
Well, look, Mike, Liberty Council is inundated with people in your situation who are suing the federal government and saying, you can't force me to take something and put something in my body that I don't want. So between them, the Alliance Defending Freedom and First Liberty, there are organizations out there, Mike, that I'm sure will help you and help others who are trying to defend your personal freedom and your constitutionally protected freedom, if I might add. And when these people say, oh, it's not about freedom, it's not about your freedom. Of course it's about freedom, because that's what America's about, freedom. So, Mike, I encourage you, brother, don't get discouraged. Pursue your religious exemption and get legal help if you need it. You should not get fired if you refuse to take the vaccine. And I just read you here again, another Harvard epidemiologist who is saying that the vaccine mandates are nonsense. I mean, what more do they need? Okay, let's go to Kelly in Oklahoma. Kelly, welcome.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to ask, isn't Islam or the Muslim religion, I mean, that's a religion, right? That's not a race. So you can
right.
talk about it being evil without being called a racist, I guess.
Well, you can't talk about anything without being called a racist if you disagree with what the left says. But you're right. Islam is a religion. It is not a race.
But I thought, because, you know, you hear people say that you're a racist if you talk against the evils of Muslim or Islam. And so I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
Kelly,
go ahead.
Oh, it's like the when the Christian crusaders did evil things. That was evil as well. You know, they weren't actually Christians, but they called themselves Christians. You have to stand up against evil. And, yeah, that's kind of the point I wanted to make.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kelly, you made it, and you made it very well. Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, what the left does is they racialize everything. Right, Islam is not a religion. Now, it was founded by Muhammad, who's an Arab, for lack of a better term. And so you could say that it's based in the Middle East among Arabs primarily, but it is a religion that is practiced by people of European background, people of Asian background, people of Middle Eastern background, people, you know, so it is not a race. But here again, if you disagree with Islam or you say anything about Islam, it's like you're attacking all Muslims, you're Islamophobic, and you're a racist. And so on that basis, maybe that's why we're being so good to the Taliban, because after all, they're people of color, right? Back in a moment.
The five hard realities that I learned as a new Christian. One was, just because someone says that they are a Christian doesn't mean that they will always act like that.
Hard Realities Concerning Following Christ, an article by Wesley Wildman.
We make mistakes or have setbacks or failures or even have sin in our own lives, and so sometimes we don't always live up to that standard, that goal of being like Christ.
To read Wesley's article, visit afa.net/the stand.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
AFA Foundation Director Riley Wildman.
A charitable gift annuity is perfect for AFA supporters with an eternal perspective like Lucy Overstreet.
Psalm 78 tells us that we are to tell our children and our grandchildren and the future generations after them what the Lord has done in our lives and what the Word of God says.
Lucy's charitable gift annuity will keep supporting this ministry for generations.
I wanted something that would have eternal value, and that's the way I think of the American Family Association investment.
Contact Riley Wildman and her staff at the AFA Foundation and find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website, afafoundation.net.
My life is not about me, it's about him.
So he pulled out, I think it was a $50 bill, maybe a $100 bill, and he just said, "How many of you want this $100 bill?" Well, the place went crazy, of course.
Dr. Les Parrott on Focus on the Family Minute.
He said, "Well, of course, everybody wants it, but let me do this to it." And he crumpled it all up and "Who wants it now?" And everybody said, "Yeah." And then he put it on the floor and he ground it down. He put some dirt on it, you know, and stomped on it. "Who wants it now?" And everybody said, "Yeah, we still want it." And he said, "Why? You still want it because it still has value,
right?
And I can tell you, we have some listeners right now that feel like, yeah, you guys don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. And we discount it because of what that person might have done. God doesn't do that. And that's why it's this profound significance.
God isn't finished with you, even though you've made mistakes. Go to familyminute.org for more encouragement.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, folks, let me just take that last discussion about Islam one step further so that no one is mistaken about what my position is and what I know the truth to be. What is fundamentally wrong in Islam is that it is a false religion. That is what is fundamentally wrong with Islam. It is a false religion. There is no God, Allah. Okay? That's what's wrong. Now, let's just be clear about that. Now, as an American, I completely support the right of Muslim people to worship the God of their choosing, and I will defend their right to do so, and I mean that legally. They have a right to do that, and I support it. But as a minister of the gospel and a proclaimer of truth, it is also important that I say what they're worshiping is not real, and therefore it is demonic, it is idolatrous, and that's why it is so subject to these bizarre ideas of you kill people and you get 79 versions and all, it's just crazy. And I say that with nothing but love. I think I've shared with you, I have Muslims in my family and I love them, but they are wrong because Islam is wrong. It is an ancient cult. So I just wanted to, so that nobody misunderstands. I'm not saying, oh, Islam is good, but you know, it just has some little problems here and there we need to straighten out. No. And by the way, the Crusades were precipitated by the fact that Muslims were violating, torturing, murdering Jews and Christians and trying to take over the Holy Land. That's what precipitated the Crusades. They may have engaged in excess. I don't doubt that. There may have been people fighting in the Crusades who weren't truly Christians. I don't doubt that. But let's just be clear that it was precipitated by Muslim aggression in the Holy Land. And of course, we know that Islam once ran the entire nation of Spain, was taken over by Moors. So they've always been aggressive, warmongering, spreading Islam by conquest. That is part of the tradition of Islam, and that is in part the result of the fact that they are not following the true and the living God. Now, if that's Islamophobic, well, just deal with it because it's the truth. Okay, let's come back to our phone lines. Let's go to Lance in Virginia. Lance in Virginia. Lance, welcome.
Hey, how are you, Bishop?
I'm great, Lance. How are you?
I can't complain. You talk about so much, I've almost forgot what I was going to tell you now.
Well, I think my producer said you were going to talk about Facebook and YouTube and
these
bands.
We've basically been cut off. I mean, my wife has found this, you know, the station that we're listening to now to hear you, but we've been trying all day, and it just keeps on kicking us out, and don't even get to hear it like we normally do. And right now I'm listening to it, and it's like you're on a drag on what we're listening to now. I'm hearing it on the telephone, and we're about 3 to 4 minutes difference between what I'm hearing on the thing she's got on and what we've got now on the telephone.
Yeah, well, you know, look, we're contemplating some legal action because YouTube, as you know, banned me for claiming medical information, and that ban was supposed to have ended in August, and here it is September, and to our knowledge, they have not restored the account. So these are the kinds of games these people are playing. You know, truly anti-American and truly evil. So Lance, just stick with me. Look, I've got everything that we do. Of course, AFR live streams, they can't interfere with that, AFR.net.
Right.
And I'm recording everything.
We have a little Google system in the kitchen here at the shop that we listen to, you know, every day with y'all. And then today it was like, oh, no, we're not going to let you. I mean, they were flipping up radios and everything else. I mean, just blocking it completely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Lance, that's what we're dealing with. That's why we need leadership that's going to rein these people in. But thank you so much for the call, Lance. God bless you. And let's hope for a great outcome in the upcoming elections in Virginia. Okay. Let's go to Harold in Oklahoma. Harold, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Harold, you're on.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. Thanks for taking my call. I've listened to you a lot, and I enjoy your comments and your show. I was telling your call screener earlier that I contacted my U.S. Senator's office yesterday because I had heard on local station that 1,800 Afghan refugees are going to be relocated to Oklahoma. Last week they said there was 100 coming to the Tulsa area, which is, I'm just right outside Oklahoma City, so it's not too far from me. But anyway, they don't know where they're going to be distributed in our state. They don't know, you know, what towns or cities. And I think if they knew, they wouldn't tell us. And I told my senator's staff person, this is the exact same thing Barack Obama did when he was the 8 years he was in, and he did it through the State Department. And then they turned them, those people are being vetted and brought in by Christian organizations, Catholic Charities, Lutheran, even Baptist, and they get paid by the government per person. Now, again, if they helped us in the field and they put their lives and their families' lives on the line for America, then, and they've been vetted properly, then they want to come here and live as Americans. But the problem, like I told my senator's office, the problem with not knowing who these people are is I don't have anything against them for being Middle Eastern or their skin color. What I have is the ideology, and Islam is not a religion of peace, and it's okay until they actually start practicing what they're teaching in the mosque around the country. So I wanted your comment, but my comment to your listeners, especially here in Oklahoma, contact your senator and your congressman. Don't let up because they are not telling us the full story here. Thank you very much.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Thank you, Harold. Look, folks, let's just be clear on something. And I talked about this morning at Restoration Church. We have an American culture. It is unique. It is special. It is made up of a number of streams coming from various parts of the world, but it is amalgamated into a unique culture. And we as Americans have a right to protect it. And we don't have to apologize to anybody for our desire to do that. And I'm not apologizing for it. I'm an American. And I don't want people pouring into our country with a whole bunch of ideas that are contrary to who we are as Americans and end up subverting this wonderful culture that we've had, which is the left, which I think that's partly what the left is trying to do. It's the Antonio Gramsci strategy of, you know, subverting cultural hegemony. You overthrow the nation from within. And so you're right. I tell people, I don't care that the people coming across the southern border are Hispanic. I wouldn't care if they were European, Australian. That's not the issue. My response would still be the same. You either come legally or you don't come at all. And give us a chance to matriculate and enculturate and absorb people into our culture so that they become Americans rather than America becoming something other than who we are and want to be. So believe me, Hal, I am with you 100%. And I say that with no hatred for those people, because in many ways, I think they're pawns too. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, welcome.
Jeff in Tennessee. Hey, Bishop.
Hey, Jeff.
A couple of comments and I'll listen offline. Number one, the Nicki Minaj thing that you brought up earlier. The only reason I knew about that was I caught it on Fox News website, which is becoming more and more graphically pornographic and just absolutely crazy. Anyway, she took Joy Reid to task on Joy Reid telling her how to address her 22 million followers. And her response to Joy Reid was, "Your little 2 million people don't mean nothing. I'm going to talk to my God first, my doctor, and I'll make my own decision." She took her to task and she called Joy Reid the black mouthpiece of the white media, period. And I love her for it. I don't even know one of her songs. Second comment. I know these Afghanistanis. I know Muslims. We're bringing uneducated, untrained. They don't even have a trade. They don't even know how to run a piece of wire or put up a piece of lumber in the house. We're going to bring all these people over here with a second grade education, grown men. Is Phoenix bad enough? I mean, South Phoenix being taken over. My brother's going to sell his house, move out because of MS-13. Are you kidding me? Everything Joe Biden is doing is ruining his country. And we need to stop. And I just want to remind all the Americans out there, I'm a 22-year military infantryman. Infantry. I know my stuff. We don't abandon our equipment like that, ever. Ever.
All right, Jeff. Jeff, we got it. And thank you for your service, brother. Thank you for your service. And look, folks, here again, helping people who've helped us, I have no problem with that, but that's not what we're doing. We know that. We know that. We're bringing hundreds of thousands of Afghans into this country, and there's no way hundreds of thousands of people were helping our military in Afghanistan. I'm not buying that. And these people are unvetted, and Jeff is pointing out they're uneducated. And, you know, here again, dismantling, disrupting, destroying America, our culture, our constitutional republic, that's what the left is really up to. And it just seems that they'll use anybody, any situation, in order to get it done. Well, that's going to do it. I wanted to come to some more callers, but folks, First Amendment Friday has quickly come to an end. And my trip to Mississippi has also come to an end. I'm about to fly out of here and get back to Virginia. But I want to say to all my Mississippi listeners out there, thank you all so much for the great hospitality. Mississippi is a great state. I don't care what anybody says. I've had a wonderful time here and look forward to coming back. In the meantime, for all of you, don't get discouraged. Don't allow anything to dishearten you, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.